restored by triple duty today.
So we're in this series called Jesus. And the way that this series came about, myself, Pastor Guy, and Pastor Steve, we got together. We just start thinking about, okay, what is God calling us to do for this next year? And so we said, you know, there's a lot of stuff that could happen, and we don't know. A lot of stuff happened last year. And so we said, you know what? Let's just get back to the basics. Let's spend a whole year just focusing on Jesus. And so that's what we're doing. And we've been in this segment of the arrival of Jesus. How did Jesus arrive? Like, did he arrive like one of those superheroes, or did he just like kind of like basic? Did he like show up and like ha ta da and did something big and did something huge? But rather, the way that Jesus shows up is in a very humbling way. He shows up and he gets baptized, and then he goes into the desert for 40 days, and then he interacts with a couple people of good reputation and even someone of a poor reputation. Jesus, his first miracle wasn't like something huge and big, but it was like turning water into wine, where only a few or a handful of people actually saw this. But when Jesus arrives on the scene, he came for two interesting purposes. One, to die for our sins, for your sins and my sins, but he also came to explain what God is like, how to relate to God, how to pray to God, how to think about God. And Jesus, in a masterful way, he did this through his teachings, did this through the miracles. He did this, you know, just in his interaction with people of all sorts of backgrounds and status. I mean, and although he did this in a masterful and awesome way, we as human beings or religious people have come along and we've done a masterful job and bring a lot of confusion when it comes to Jesus and even following Jesus. For example, growing up, I thought if you do not commit everything to God like right away, like in that moment, in that instance, then God is mad at you. And until you got to that point where you were able to give everything over to Jesus or to God, then Jesus really didn't want to do anything with you. And I grew up hearing this phrase, maybe you've heard this as well: if Jesus is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. And I've given Jesus like four or five areas of my life, but I'm way too young to give up what I do on spring break or who I'm going to marry or what college I'm going to do or what career choice I'm going to have. I mean, I need to hold a little bit back because I don't want to miss out on life. And because it was Lord of all or Lord at all, I really didn't feel like Jesus was on my team. And this could be your take on Christianity. Maybe you look at the people around and they have their Bibles and they use certain language. We call it the Christian words or Christian language. And you think, man, I'm not sure if I'll ever be able to get there, nor do I really want to get there. And some of you have probably met some Christians and it's like, do-do-do-do-do, like Twilight Zone, really, really weird people. And some of you have had this experience where your spouse or someone you care about or a loved one, they became a Christian and they're different now. You're not really sure what, but they're a little different and they're reading their Bibles, they're praying, they're waking up really early on Sunday and going to a church for service. It seems crazy. And it seems like some people went from 0 to 60 in a matter of seconds, and you sit there and you think, man, I'm interested, I'm even curious, but I'm not sure if I can do that. Well, I've got some great news for you. We're going to look at maybe a different way that Jesus actually calls to follow him. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. If you want, you can take out your phone. And we've been using this app called the YouVersion app. There's a QR code that's going to show up on it. I think this is a Ballinger QR. See, Urbana QR codes don't work here. But Ballinger QR codes work. So you can just take out your phone, you can point your camera at that, and you can follow along in this app called YouVersion. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5. We've been kind of trekking through, looking at different stories of Jesus. This is one of my favorite passages. I have several favorite passages. This is like a really cool one. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 and see how Jesus arrives on the scene and how he calls people, he interacts with people. So we're going to dive right in. Verse 1, Luke chapter 5. It says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. The Lake of Gennesaret has several names. It's also known as the Lake of Tiberias or also Galilee. He says, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Verse 2, he saw at the water's edge two boats left by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Now these men, these fishermen had fished all night, and now they're cleaning the nets. They're tired. They're ready to call it the day. They're frustrated because they didn't catch anything. And Jesus shows up, and he begins to teach the people there, and the crowd grows, and it grows, and it grows. Listen to what it says in verse 3. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, a.k.a. Peter. I like to call him Pete, okay? I call him Pete. And asked them to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, a.k.a. Peter, a.k.a. Pete, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, Peter or Pete is thinking to himself, and maybe he even thought out loud, one, we already done this. Number two, we're cleaning our nets. And number three, Jesus, your background is carpentry. You are a carpenter. Peter saying, I am a professional fisherman. I've done this my entire life. This has been in our business our entire lives. You don't fish during the day. You fish at night because it's cool and the fish come up and the fish can't see the net. And no one in their right minds would fish during the day. Plus, there's going to be people looking at us and laughing at us, asking us, what are you doing? What you're doing, what you're asking of us, Jesus, just doesn't make any sense. And oftentimes, that's exactly what God does, or Jesus does. He asks us to do things that just doesn't make any sense. You and I, we may look at this text or look at this statement, and we might even laugh. Hey, Pete, don't you know who that is? That's Jesus. He actually created the fish. And in fact, sometimes we do, or I do, the same thing. God, you don't know about my marriage. You don't really know the person that I have to deal with, my spouse. I care for them, but they're a pain in the neck right now. I know what the Bible says, but have you looked at our marriage? Have you looked at him, or have you looked at her? Have you looked at our financial situation? God, have you looked at the industry that I'm in? Have you looked at my boss? Have you looked at my extended family? God, I mean, they really are a pain in the neck. And Jesus, I mean, no offense, and I'm sure you are a great guy and a great carpenter and a great God, and you've done a great job with creation, but you don't know my situation. God, what you're asking me to do just doesn't make any sense. And it goes on to say in verse 5, Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Peter is being a little bit of a jerk here. That word master can be also translated as captain. He's kind of making fun of Jesus. He says, Captain, we've worked all night. And Jesus, no offense, but it seems like you're clueless. We're tired. We just cleaned up. We've done this all night. And I just want to let you know how difficult your request is, because it's really a bother. Anybody ever do that? You know, anybody? If you're married, you've done that. Like, I don't know. Like, honey, you really want me to get up and take out the trash, like, right now? Like, I have to do it right now. Anybody here have done that? You know, like, right now. I just got dressed. I just got my slippers. I took all the, you want me to do it right now? And I love what the next verse says. It says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. In other words, I wouldn't do this for anybody else, but Jesus, I've been sitting here and listening, and I've listened long enough, and in light of what I've learned, and in light of what I've heard, and in light of what I've felt, and I hope you are, I'll do it. Then it says in verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and says, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they have taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon partner, and then the word then. Everyone say then. Are we still, we're sleeping? I mean, these chairs are too comfortable. Everyone say then. One more time, then. Then, that should be capitalized, that should be underlined. If you have one of those Bibles, you could do that, circled, underlined, highlighted, because the word then, everyone say then. Then after they sat and listened for a while, then after they let him borrow the boat, then after they took a chance and went fishing, then after they saw what he was able to do, then after he proved himself over and over and over again, the word is then, everyone say then. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. I love this story because this story is about you and me. It's about different people with different backgrounds and different expectations and different faith levels and different places in our walk. And when Jesus arrives, we'll see here three things I want to draw our attention to. When he arrives, he presents this invitation to follow him. And the first way he represents this, or he presents this, it's all relational. If you're a note taker, it's all relational. It's this invitation just to take the next step, just one step. It says in verse 1, it'll show up on your screen. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. There's something so powerful about just listening to the word of God. When Pastor David and I went to Turkey, there were some folks there who couldn't read. They just wanted us to read. They just wanted to hear the word of God. And so Peter is there. He's sitting and he's listening and he's just listening. Because Christianity is an informed faith, and this story begins like all of our stories. It just begins with us sitting there and learning and listening. And for many of us, you're just sitting and listening, and that is huge. And right now, you're exactly where God wants you to be. Just sit and listen. But there will be a day, there will be a time where Jesus will ask you to take another step. And not only is it Jesus' invitation is relational, but number two, his invitation also requires a response. In other words, he's going to ask, he's going to make an ask or a nudge that will cost you something. Now hear me on this, salvation is 100% free, but it will cost you something. It will cost you your pride. It may even cost you a certain perspective. It will cost you your time. It may even cost you a meal. It will cost you coffee. It will cost you something. But the beautiful thing about how God works, how Jesus works, God will, hear me on this, God will never take away anything from you that he doesn't replace with something better. I'll say it again. God will never take anything from you that he doesn't replace with something better. And for Pete and his buddies, there was a cost of time and effort, and likely they were frustrated and they grumbling. Here's something for you. Someone may already know this. Maybe all of you already know this, but do you know that God is bigger than your frustration? This God is bigger than your grumbling, and some of you have actually, God has asked you to do something, and the entire time you did it, you grumbled. Anybody? I've done that. And God's like, I can still use that. I can use that. And so Peter and his buddies are probably grumbling. And this is what it says in verse 6. When they had done so, when they had let their nets down, because Jesus asked, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the boat to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I mean, that's going to be cool, right? And a day will come where Jesus is going to nudge you and he's going to make an ask for you. He's going to say, hey, can I borrow your boat? Well, I don't have a boat. I'm safe, right? Maybe Jesus will say, can I borrow your time? Can I borrow your calendar? How about this one? This is going to be hard for many of us, probably 99.9% of us. Can I borrow your phone for a little while? I might actually turn it off. Can I borrow? Can I borrow your time? And Jesus and God, He's going to make an ask of you, and it may just be small. He may say, "Hey, now it's time to invite somebody. Now it's time to serve somewhere. Now it's time to share your God story with someone. Now it's time to maybe join a home group. Whatever it is, I'm just going to ask you to take another step." And the beautiful thing is that Jesus doesn't ask us to take these leaps. He says, "I just want to take you a step, just one step." Now, I did not grow up thinking I was going to be a pastor. That was the farthest thing from my mind. I was like, no way, there's no money in it. The people are frustrating, you know, and you never can please anybody, all that good stuff. And you got to be a pastor at a movie theater, and you're always moving around. You know, I never, ever really thought about that. I had my own dreams. But I remember, and I've told many of you, I've lived in San Diego for a little while, and I remember sitting there, and there was a huge church, about 2,000 or 3,000 people in each service, and they had about 6 services, and I was sitting in one of the services, and I'm sitting there, and the God just kind of nudged my heart and said, "You need to start serving." And I was falling back in love with Jesus. I was reading His word. "You need to do something." And so I just heard it. I just felt it. And I said, "Okay, Jesus." I said, "The next person who goes on the stage and asks for something, I'll do it." Person comes up and he says, "Okay, we have 2,000 to 3,000 chairs. We need someone to help us put these away every weekend." And I said, "Really, Jesus?" But I said, I could do that. And so part of my job was to not only move chairs, but also try to convince other people, say, "Can you stop what you're doing and help me move chairs?" And we had to stack them by 10, and it was a little room, and it was hours, because not everyone wanted to help. But there was one guy who helped regularly. His name was John. He ended up coming to me. He said, "Man, you know a lot about the Bible. Can you teach me about the Bible?" And I'm like, "I don't even know what that means. I mean, I don't even know how to do that." And we just started meeting together. And next thing I know, I go from stacking chairs, and now I'm discipling this guy. And I've been discipling individuals for the last 22 years. And it all started with this guy. And then after starting to disciple this guy, I met my pastor, who's a mentor of mine. He says, "You know what? You're going to be a pastor." I'm like, "Really? I just start putting away chairs." And he's still very impactful in my life to this day. I mean, think what hung in the balance for Pete if he said no. I mean, he could have said, "Man, that's a bad idea. I'm going to be laughed at. My reputation is going to be ruined. It's going to cost me money. It may even cost me my time." But Peter did something that you and I have done every once in a while, and this is what Jesus asked us, that we will allow our little faith to intersect with Jesus' faithfulness. That we would just allow our little faith to intersect with Jesus' faithfulness, and that's what happens here. And so it says in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Not like have a, you know, the whole fishing rod, but you will fish for people. And so they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. Quite honestly, that verse 11 scares me. Because we think about that, we say, okay, they left everything. Like, they left their job, they left their house. But you have to understand what's going on here. You have to understand the background a little bit. Everyone back there wanted to be a rabbi at some point in time. All the young men, they wanted to become a rabbi. It was the most sought after job of that time. And at the age of 12, they would go to the rabbi, they would find a rabbi, and they would actually apply to the rabbi. They would say, "Rabbi, I think I can learn what you're teaching. I think I can learn your style." And then if the rabbi said yes, he would say these words, "Come follow me." In other words, "I think you can do what I do, and I think you can know what I know." If you didn't pass, the rabbi would say, "Go about your family's business." Whether it's a carpenter, whether it's a fisherman, whatever that may be. And so you have these guys did not make the cut. They returned back to their family's business. These guys were on the B team. They were on the C team. They were rejected by all the other rabbis, and that in itself is so special about Jesus. Jesus, he goes and he presents himself without you even applying or passing a test. He says, I think you can know what I know. Dare I say, I think you can do some of the things that I can do. And so Jesus, he goes to these guys and he kind of builds this relationship, and then he asks this big ask and they just leave. I mean, if you all you wanted to do was be a rabbi, all you wanted to do, for example, you wanted to be a doctor, and you're like, you know, this whole doctor thing, it's cool, but I just don't have the time. I don't think I have the brain power or whatever. And you just like you just feel like you failed. You're like, I'm gonna do something else. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm gonna be an accountant. I don't know. You know, it's like you go from a doctor to accountant. I don't know. They're both good jobs. And if someone came along and said, I think you can be a doctor, I will show you, I will show you everything you need to know. I will give you all my knowledge, and I know you can pass. Of course you would leave. Yeah, I'll go. I'll do that. And this is what these guys do, and that's what makes this so amazing. And it brings us to the last point, where Jesus comes on the scene. There's going to be some kind of requirement. In a sense, there's this sense of urgency. But if you're like me, there are times where Jesus gives me this invitation and I feel like I'm unqualified. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough time. I don't know enough about the Bible, or I'm not good enough. I still struggle with this and that. I think we've all been there. I know I've been there. And even still, as a pastor, like, you know, when he called us up here, you know, and I was like, are you sure, God? And he like, and then I thought it was a sign, like a pandemic hit. I'm like, apparently you don't want to be here, right? You know, you're trying to stop everything. And God's like, no, I have confidence in him, not in myself. And so I've always had to wrestle with this. I continue to wrestle. I hope you don't think I have everything all together, but there are times where I make excuses. Maybe you're familiar with it. Maybe you know that you make an excuse. So you give God an out, or you allow God to like, well, God, you really don't want to use me. I have in my Bible, my personal Bible that I study out of, on the back of it, I have this piece of paper taped in there. And it just says, at the top of it, it says, what's your excuse? And underneath it, and maybe you've heard this, I heard this a long, long time, are a list of people who have issues, who have problems, who could have had excuses. And I'm just going to read some of these out loud for you. Maybe you're familiar with this. Maybe you heard this. Maybe you need to dive into understand this a little bit more. But what's your excuse? Noah, the guy Noah who built the ark, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac, was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. That's what the Bible says, okay? I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible says. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem and a murderer. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Samson had long hair and was a player. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. Elijah and Moses were suicidal. David had an affair and was a murderer and an adulterer. Isaiah preached naked. That will never, ever happen here. Never. Never happen here. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while Jesus prayed. The Samaritan woman was divorced 5 times. Martha complained and irritated everybody. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer and Lazarus was dead. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? There's an urgency here. And it takes great humility to say yes to Jesus. So I'm going to call the worship team up. And our last big idea, the big challenge is simply this. It's time for you to follow him. Wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, it's just time for you to follow Jesus. Whether you are a old timer like myself, where I'm constantly following Jesus. I want to always be following Jesus. Maybe you're brand new here and you're just checking out church and you've been invited. Maybe today is the day where you follow him. Maybe you've been up and down and you've been struggling up and down, back and forth. You have issues, you go back and forth. Today or right now is the time to simply follow him. Jesus' invitation, it is simple. It is for us all. And all you have to do is receive it. It's a great invitation. All you have to do is receive it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, but he rose from the dead as well, that you and I would have victory. That you and I would have victory. And because we have victory, and in that humility, God's going to ask you or challenge you to do things that may be uncomfortable. Just a little. Whether it's sharing your story, whether it's serving, whether it is handing over your calendar to God. Maybe it is saying no to something so I can say yes to what Jesus has in store for you. Jesus has a plan. He wants to use average people. Pete, Jim, and John, three favorite characters in the Bible. They go on to change the entire world. The church was built on the disciples, some fishermen, some rejects, guys who weren't even on the JV. They were on the B and C team. They were on the D team. They were lower than anyone. They were rejected by everyone else. They didn't have the best education. They weren't the smartest. They weren't maybe the brightest religiously, but they were just available. Now is the time for you to follow him. And that could be, again, by this weekend. Showing up on the 9th, serving somewhere. Maybe it's not waiting that weekend. Maybe it's today. It's passing out one of these cards or two of these cards to a friend or family or a neighbor, whomever. Maybe that step is, okay, I could do that easily. Maybe it's, I want to actually tell you my God story and what God has done in my life. Wherever you're at, God's going to challenge you and probably has already challenged you to take one step. One step. One step. Not three, not 20, but just one step. I still take one step. Sometimes God throws 2x4s and, all right, Jermaine, you got to catch up. All right, come on, come on. We're just taking one step at a time to simply following him because he is the Lord who loved us so much that he died on the cross for your sins and my sins and rose from the dead. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your amazing word. We thank you for this whole series that we're in and looking at how you arrived on the scene. I pray, Lord God, that as you become more and more real in our hearts and our lives, that we would glorify your name, not just what we do Sunday mornings for 60 to 65 minutes, but beyond that time, whether it's in our neighborhood, amongst our family and friends, whether it's at work, that we would just simply shine for you. And Lord God, I don't know where people are at in their spiritual journey. Maybe people I'm already past that, Jermaine. I'm at the graduate level. Awesome. You're great. Double thumbs up for you. Maybe you need to bring along someone else alongside of you. Or maybe you're kind of in between. You're ups and downs, and you're just struggling with life, and you're struggling with marriage, and you're struggling with finances. I know this may sound cliche-ish, but if you really focus on Jesus, he can heal marriages. He can heal your financial situation. There may be a cost in like humility. There may be a cost of your pride and saying no to yourself. But if you keep your eyes fixated on him, he will journey with you. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus' invitation is absolutely free. He stuck himself on the cross for you, for me, for all of us, because he loves us that much. He died so that we did not have to. He took that sacrifice so that we did not have to. Maybe you're here today and You just stretch out your arms. You just reach out. You just take that. So, Lord, I want you. Lord, I want you in my life. Maybe today is the day. Maybe this time is the time to simply following him. Lord God, we thank you. We give you praise. In your precious name, amen.